Already today in the house of the Lord. It's good to see all of you. We had a good Sunday school lesson this morning, a good devotion, Brother Wade brought. And then Hunter, he sang his a good song. Amen. Get them started out young, that's the way to do. Brother James Orange, he's got a large family. And every one of them started out just when there's little fellers getting right up there on the platform with them and playing and singing. So that's wonderful. Amen. Turn in the book of Revelation today in chapter number 12. I'd like to talk to you just a little bit from Revelation chapter 12. About the woman that was clothed with the sun. Todd told us this morning that if you needed or wanted a CD, that you could get one. And he's still working out some bugs, I guess you'd say, from getting those put down. But he did record it last Sunday. And if you want a CD, you see Todd, and he'll get you one. In Revelation chapter 12, verse number 1 says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days." May the Lord bless the reading of his word as we have looked at this morning. And Brother Wade had a devotion this morning on John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and to have it more abundantly." But he first said, "The thief," which is old Satan, "the thief cometh not but for to rob and to steal and to kill." And that's exactly what Satan does. You see, death came because of Satan, but life comes because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is predicted in Isaiah chapter 66, and I'll just have you all over the Bible today, but in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 7 and 8, has predicted that Israel, being the mother, she is bringing forth a man-child. Now the man-child, of course, is the Blessed One, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in verse number 3 in Revelations, this same devil, he attempted even centuries ago to destroy the man-child. And now he is struck out against the woman, which is Israel, and he's going to destroy her. And we find here the greatest attempt to destroy the Jews in verses 13 through 17 of chapter 12. I'll read this. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child, and the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half time, from the face of the serpent." Now this time, and times, and a half time is, of course, 42 months. That's 3.5 years during the tribulation period, whenever Israel is protected of God, and she has been put into the wilderness where the devil casts out a flood to destroy her, but God is going to protect her there in the wilderness. But now the conflict goes on even back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when God promised the seed of the woman, and it was going to bruise the head of Satan. And that, of course, gets Satan all worked up, and he's going to try to do away with this man-child in every way that he can. But you see, that conflict goes back through the ages, 2,000 years ago. And in verse number 5, the Bible said she brought forth the man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And, of course, her child was caught up into heaven. And that's where Lord Jesus Christ is at today. He's seated in the heavens, seated at his Father's throne. But here we find in the Word of God that he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And that, of course, is in the future. Now, when he comes back, he's going to take care of all of these nations. And he's going to bring them into judgment. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And then, in, of course, verse 6, we find here that this woman, she fled. She fled for 42 months, and God is protecting her. And, of course, this is referred to as the tribulation period. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 14, we find there that out of the great tribulation, there's a group of people coming with their having their robes washed in the blood. Amen. So they came out of great tribulation. The great tribulation is something that's going to come up on this earth, and it is known as Jacob's trouble. It is a time that has never been a time like it before, and it'll never be a time like it again. But first of all, we see because of the intensity and the immensity of this time that the children of Israel is protected. Now, I like that because, listen, God can protect you and me. He can protect the children of Israel. He took care of them in the wilderness for 40 years when they came out of Egypt. And surely he can do that again. But God proves his love to them. And I like this because God says he's going to love them. And just like out in the wilderness, God loved the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. When they were there for 40 years, God protected them and he saved them out of it by preservation, preserving. God can preserve people, just like you put up your canned goods or your preserves, and when the seal snaps on, they are there to keep. So God can do that. God is big enough to take care of the problem. Yes, he is. So God can take care of it. But in Isaiah chapter 66, I want to take you there and to see what God had to say in predicting this very event. In verse number 5, of Isaiah chapter 66, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. God says it's going to turn around one day. Those that cast out the Jews, those that believe God, those who are trembling at his word. And you know, God still looks at those today that would tremble at his word, believe his word, and rely on his word. But you know, they're getting fewer all the time. Fewer all the time, because I find it hard for anybody today to tremble at God's word. Take it for granted and take it as a grain of salt sometimes. But he says, now they'll be ashamed. But Isaiah told them of God's judgment that was going to come, and it was against that hypocritical nation. You know what? They had made a joke of God's word. They had just made a gesture about it and says it's not so. We're living in a day when people make a gesture of God's word as if it's just something that the world laughs at. They were talking about this divinative. They're a bunch of cults. David Koran, you know, when they out in Waco, Texas, when Janet Lorino had the people to move in and the building caught fire and a lot of people lost their life. There was 70-some people, that they were in there when the building caught fire. And of course, they died. But now that was an occult religion. But they just got carried away about the book of Revelation. And, of course, David, he became a guru and claimed himself to be some divine person. But you see, that's the way radicals do. But they thought about all of these things that was happening in the book of Revelation, and they were getting ready for them to happen. But now this person that was explaining the situation said, the book of Revelation is made up of a bunch of animals and symbols and beasts and horns and trumpets. And you see, that just runs them crazy. They don't know what to do with that. They don't know what to do when they read about the trumpets and the horns and the beasts and all of that. But let me say this. They are about as dumb as a rock, so to speak, when it comes to the things of God. They may be bright, they may be smart, but they still don't know God. But God is going to turn things around. To those that tremble at his word, God said, listen, you don't have to worry. You are going to be protected, even in the tribulation period. So he tells them that God's going to comfort them, so he's going to encourage them. The judgment will not involve you. Now, this is good for the saints to know. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So God has told them that he's going to take care of them, those that believe in his word and trust in his word. But now notice in verse number 6 what God said in Isaiah chapter 66. A voice, a noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Well, now Josephus, he was a writer back in the time of Jesus, and he wrote about the history of the wars of the Jews. And after the long siege by the Romans, they ran into the temple for refuge, and for no reason, all on its own, the doors of the temple flew open. And the priest heard a noise coming from the Holy of Holies and a shuffling about. And so that voice came and said, let us depart hence. Now, at that time, there was this feller, Josephus said, one Jesus Bar something, Bar Annas, or whatever his name was. He ran up and down the streets. Ran up and down the streets during the feast of Tabernacles. And he cried out, a voice from the east, a voice from the west, a voice from the temple, a voice from the four winds, a voice against Jerusalem, a voice against the temple, a voice against these people. And he went about crying this up and down the streets. And of course, this was just simply fulfilling the prophecy. There was a voice that God spoke. Nobody could see them. And there was some people in Jerusalem in that time that God protected. He protected those people from the destruction of Jerusalem when Titus came and destroyed the temple and destroyed all of that. But God was getting ready for the church to be placed in the world. Amen. So God made some changes back in those days. In verse number 7, you see what the Bible said. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Now this is very unusual. This is very uncommon. You know, ladies, if you give child birth, you know that there's a lot of pain in childbirth. But here it talks about there's going to be a deliverance. And this man-child, you see, and it's going to be that the church will be set up in the world. And we see this in Isaiah chapter 66. And in verse number 7, it is also applied to the children that were in Babylon. The children of Israel in Babylon, and they would be delivered from Babylon. God's going to deliver them. They're in Babylon now. And whenever deliverance was made, it was very easy. There was no struggle. And there was no pain involved or struggle. But it was just like down in Egypt. The Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 34, that God delivered the children of Israel with a mighty power. And they had really nothing to do with it. God just delivered them out of Egypt with a great hand, a mighty power. And so the deliverance was made. And so the man-child came before Israel had a pain. So this is very uncommon. Very uncommon. But you remember what the Egyptian midwife said? Pharaoh said, destroy all of the men children. So the midwives were instructed, when they go in to the children of Israel, the women, and when they were having their child, if it was a man child, they were to take it and cast it into the Nile River. That's pretty gross thinking, but that's in the Word of God, and that's what they did. But the midwives said, look, they've already delivered even before we get there. They are lively. The Hebrew women are lively. Well, now it is known that some people can have a child and not have very much pain. But it's very uncommon. But here, God is talking about in verse number 8, but shall the earth be made to bring forth fruit in one day? Well, you know for a fact that it takes several weeks in the spring of the year for the earth to renew itself. In the spring of the year, you get to looking and there comes up those little crocuses. You think, boy, spring of the year is getting close by. But then it takes several weeks for the leaves to come and the trees have the leaves on it and the fruit starts to bear and all of that. It takes several weeks for it to do that, to be renewed. But he says, shall a nation be born in one day? Now, is it that we're supposed to imagine that a woman at one birth can populate a country and they all of a sudden be mature and grow up and be mature? No, that's not what God expects us to do. Although, you have to understand that there was a time that something like that happened in the creation days. Whenever God created this earth, put man on this earth, there was something like that happened even in the... I read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 20 that Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. There was a great population that happened pretty suddenly back in those days. There's no doubt about that. But listen, the Bible said that God rested from all his work when he saw that it was good, and he rested from his work. And now we have to know this, that things happen gradually. We don't have any problem with that, do we? Because that's what we expect. And when we see that a woman is carrying a child, it takes 9 months for her to give birth. Now, I know there's been some on television that one woman had, 8 babies at once. She was artificially some way or another, and she gave birth. I mean, that was tremendous, but those things are unusual. But listen, there's coming a day that God is going to change some things again. But now it's by the Lord's doings. It says here in verse number 9, shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Lord? You see, this is the Lord's doing, and the Lord is able to accomplish that which he pleases. Whatever it is, God can do it. You might as well understand that. But now, during the kingdom age, the longevity of life is going to be again prolonged. You can see this. You can see this here. Back in chapter 65 of Isaiah, in verse number 20. Let me turn and read that. In Isaiah 65 and 20, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Now he's talking about the longevity of life. You remember in Genesis, Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. In the millennium, there'll be a time when people can live to be 900 years old. But it says a child shall die 100 years old. Still be a child. 100 years old. Now you look around, you'll see a lot of children today. We ain't 100 yet. But there'll be a longevity. But notice something else about this, that death will not be done away with. It is the last enemy. The Bible says there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 26, that the last enemy, which is death, will be destroyed. Do you know when that's going to be? That's going to be after the rebellion of Satan is put down. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verses 7 through 14, that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire along with Satan, false prophet and the beast. They're going to be cast in. So this is when death is going to be destroyed. After that, there will be no more death. I don't know if it bothers you or even causes you to give it a second thought or not, but there's coming a day when there will be no more death. Death is a horrible thing. It is an enemy. It takes your loved ones. And it doesn't have any respect of person. It can happen to infants. And it can happen to those loved ones that we love so dearly. And no one hardly gets past 100 years old in the days that we live. But one day, it'll be done away with. Old Satan's rebellion is going to be put down at the end of the 1,000 years, millennium. And we'll see that happen. But the Bible said that Jesus must reign until he puts all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy, which is death, and it will be destroyed. It'll be done away with. Never again to happen. But then we see that Israel here is helpless in Babylon. She is helpless in Babylon. She's in captivity. She's in ruin. But yet there is a remedy. God never leaves anything without a remedy. And the Bible says here that God is going to help her. Now if you'll turn over to the book of Jeremiah, we'll see the conclusion of this. Jeremiah chapter 30. And this is what God says about Israel while she's there. And in Jeremiah chapter 30 in verse 14. All thy lovers have forgotten thee, they seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with a wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thy iniquities, because thy sins were increased. God says, I did that. God put them in Babylon because of their sin, because iniquity had it increased, and God put them there, and he said, I've treated you, I've chastised you, just like a cruel one. Well, God was angry with them, and they were put there in Babylon. And he says, all other nations have forsaken thee, and it was a time of need. But I think about this, and this is a picture of a soul that's not saved by the marvelous grace of God. They have been forsaken by the world. Did you know that before you saved, the world didn't have not one thing? They didn't care about your soul. They didn't care one bit about your soul. The world still doesn't care about our soul. The world still doesn't care whether they believe or not. They still don't care. David said, I looked on my left and I looked on my right and no man cared for my soul. Well, that's the way the world is. The world does not care for your soul. You see, sin leads to bondage. Sin leads to suffering. Sin leads to disappointment. Because thy sins were increased, God says. In Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 12, notice this verse. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. Boy, that's a picture of a lost soul. A person that's lost, they don't have any help. They don't have any medicine. They don't have anybody to care for them. And their bruise is incurable, and their wound is grievous. But notice verse 17, what Jeremiah said. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. But God says, I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to take care of Israel. I'm going to restore her health. Thank God for that promise. And listen, to the poor soul, there is health to be restored for that person that's lost. And the devil has robbed them of their health and their strength because God said it. God says, I'm going to take care of you. So in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 1, we see that there is the woman. The woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, a crown upon her head with 12 stars. But if you look at something else, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12, we find something else. There is the candlesticks and the Son of Man walking in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. That is the picture of the church. Jesus walking in the midst of the candlesticks. Now, all of these symbols that you find in the book of Revelation, sure, they're wonderful. If you understand the Word of God, and it's a good thing to do is to read and to study the Word of God. Amen? Todd was in his Sunday school lesson this morning was talking about that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you study and look at the word of God, we find all of these wonderful things, and God is pointing to that time when you'll be taken care of and the Lord's coming back. But you see, when the church is shown here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 12, and the golden candlesticks, and there is the lights glimmering off of those candles, and the Son of Man in the midst, what does that show you? That shows you that the light of those candles is not to light up the candlesticks, but it's to light up the one that's in the midst, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Son of Man is to be seen in His church, and the light of your life is to light Him up. Amen. That's a good thought if I did say it. The light is so that He can be seen. Is He seen in your life? Amen. The world can see Jesus in you. Yes, they can. If you live the way you're supposed to, your testimony is to be like that that would cause somebody else to say, you know, I'm a little bit thirsty. I'd like to have what they have. That makes them thirsty when they see the Lord Jesus Christ in you. Well, that's the message that God laid on our heart today, and we could just go on, but listen, let's bow our heads and pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, today that our hearts will be challenged to read and to search God's Word, to find Jesus, because He's the one that saved our soul. He's the one that can still save today. He's the one that comes seeking to save that which was lost. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be the Christian that we ought to be for Jesus' sake. We know that there's coming a time of judgment. There's coming a time when God's going to deal with the enemy. But you're going to preserve the children that still tremble at your word. I pray, Lord, if there's one today that's lost, save him for Jesus' sake. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Brother Raymond, if you come and get us a song, let's all stand as we sing today.